The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward, and her producer, Sir Rocket.
Welcome to The Rack right here on RackRadioShow.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we are super excited because it's the supercharged, super geeky, awesome, spectacular Dragon Con edition of The Rack. I had the awesome experience of invading Dragon Con as it took over Atlanta this past weekend for Labor Day.
For those unaware, this is Lindsay's first ever time heading to Dragon Con, and from all accounts, it was one hell of an experience for you.
It's really sad. I've grown up here. I've grown up in Atlanta. I'm from here. Lived here my whole life, except for those 4 years in Utah that we don't talk about.
We're not talking about them.
We're not going to talk about that. I've never been to Dragon Con. I've always heard about it. I'd never been to the parade. I'd never done any of it because the thing is, it's on Labor Day weekend and I'm usually busy on Labor Day weekend. So I made it a point this year to want to go to Dragon Con, and I had the privilege of going as media, which was pretty dang cool. I have to say. And yes, I had a crazy, crazy experience. Not as crazy as some, because there was some stuff going down.
Stuff went down, and if you go and use the hashtag DragonCon, you can probably see all the craziness that happened at some of the parties late at night, because I looked at some of the pictures, and oh my god, things happened.
People had fun.
Yeah.
People had way more fun than I did. And good on them for it. I just don't have the stamina anymore to go out that late.
Right.
Especially since I'm going to get up the next morning and do the con thing. So, you know, because I didn't stay at a con hotel. I live in Atlanta. I honestly rode the train down every day, which was a brilliant call, at least to me on my part. They tell you that in the materials that they send you because they're very nice to send you stuff. Basically explaining to you, okay, this is how the thing works. Yeah, if you ever go to Dragon Con and you're visiting Atlanta, if you're from Atlanta, if you are not in a con hotel, just take MARTA. Just do it. It's so much easier than driving. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about walking too terribly far. MARTA drops you off right at Peachtree Center, which is the heart of the con. You come up the steps. Everything is in a 3-minute walk. It's fantastic.
And with over 70,000 people in attendance, yeah, public transportation is the best way to do anything.
Yeah, especially with a lot of people coming in from out of town, the spaces downtown fill up really, really quickly. My only complaint about MARTA the entire weekend was how they handled the parade.
Right.
Because when I got down there for the parade on Saturday, they had half the station shut down, and the half that was open, they only had one side, because the way Peachtree Center is configured is it has, you can go up one side or the other, and then there's two exits each on the side. So there's actually four exits to the station, and one takes you up above where all the hotels are. Mm-hmm. And the other one puts you right in the center of all the hotels. So it doesn't matter which exit you take. It's just you have to walk a little further for one. And they're on opposite sides of the street, so you need to keep that in mind. But they had the close exit actually cut off, so you could not get up that exit. So you had to go to the far one. And they only had one side open of the two split off exits. So you're cramming everybody getting off the trains to get up to the parade up this one exit, and the escalators for Peachtree Center are pretty much straight up, like in terms of the incline. It's not a nice gentle slope. Oh no, you're just basically going straight up,
right,
for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very severe climb, so they were only letting about 30 people on at a time because the escalators could not take the amount of people.
Right.
And so many people got crammed in there that after a while, it's just you feel like you're packed in like sardines because there's just so many people. So they finally opened the other side to let people go up those escalators. But again, they were only letting 30 people go up at a time, but it went much faster once they opened the other side, because at least the other side had two escalators.
Right.
But yeah, that's my only complaint about the whole weekend, was the way that the way that they move people in terms of for the parade. But other than that, MARTA was great. No problems getting down there. No problems getting back. Worked out wonderfully.
The first day you went was on Saturday, and you went for the morning parade. What was that like?
Oh my gosh, the parade is insane. So, okay, here's the deal with the parade. I got told in my little press packet that they sent me, which is very nice, that you want to be down there by about 9:30.
Right.
If you want a good spot, don't get down there at 9:30.
It's better to get there earlier than what they suggest.
Yeah. Basically, everybody in the hotels for the con has prime seating. So if you want a spot on the curb or you want to get very close to the parade route, right where the hotels are, you're going to have to get there early. Some people were getting there 2 hours ahead of time to get their spots. Now, I don't know. I would have to figure this out next year, but you might be able to go further down the parade route away from the hotels, more towards North Avenue, and see if it's more open down there, because I don't think as many people were down there. Because the thing is like you have everybody in for the con, and then like the rest of Georgia shows up for the parade. So there were probably 100,000 people down there for the parade.
That's insane.
Yeah. It was a lot of people. So if you want a really good spot for the parade, you have to get there very early.
Oh yeah, I could tell you that from just going to a parade in general. Yeah, getting there early is best because then if not, you're crammed in like a sardine.
Yeah. The other option to that is if you get down there late like I did, I discovered a little trick.
And what's that?
Atlanta has parking garages.
Oh, really?
You can go up because they're open. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's trying to park. So I actually went up to the 8th floor of one of the parking garages and hung over the side and was able to see the entire parade from above in the parking garage. And a lot of people were doing that where it's like, because the thing is like on the sidewalks, you're 10 people deep and it's very hard to navigate the sidewalks after a while because, especially in the narrower streets, because you're 10 people deep and once people get their spot, they don't want to move.
Right. And someone who is not as tall like you are, getting higher is probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it's like I kept trying. I was actually down there to meet friends. I had friends at the parade. They had gotten prime spots. They were right at the corner of Peachtree and John Portman. You know, they were on the curb. It was great. I could not get across the street to get to them. And it wasn't because they had the street blocked off. It's because people would not move.
Right. People found their spot. They're like, no, I'm staying here.
So after a while, I just texted my friends. I was like, hey, I'm going to have to meet you afterwards because I can't get to you.
Right. They're Dragon Con veterans, as it were. So they knew exactly where to go and when to be there at that point.
Pretty much, yeah. So, I mean, this is their second or third year going, so they knew how to do all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the parade was really cool. It's long. It's about 2 hours long because mm-hmm. it starts at 10 and they start down at, I think, North Avenue because it was actually a longer parade route this year.
Yeah, it was a little bit, like another block or so, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. So it starts down, I think, around North Avenue and it has to come all the way up West Peachtree to John Portman where it makes a turn. So, and then a second turn onto, I think, East Peachtree. But it was really cool to see. I mean, every costume, every fandom you could think of was there and represented, which was really cool. They had all these cars. I'm trying to describe the cars.
Okay.
Because they weren't the actual movie cars, but they were basically cars that fans had dressed up from the movies.
Okay.
There was a Men in Black one. There was Jurassic Park, Bumblebee, Blues Brothers, Tank Girl.
Right.
I mean, just all these different movie cars that people had created themselves. People cosplayed their cars.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I want the Bumblebee. I want the Bumblebee.
But that takes a lot of creative effort to do something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there was somebody even went to the point of dressing up an old Corvette as a stormtrooper.
Please tell me someone didn't do the car from Dumb and Dumber.
No, no one did that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that one wasn't there. Thank goodness. But yeah, they also had these little go-kart guys on go-karts that were racing each other. They recreated the chase scene from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark with the mine carts.
Right.
They had two people chasing each other, which was awesome. And it's not your typical parade that you think of. It's mainly people in costume, and it's somewhat organized by what it's supposed to be, but everybody kind of gloms together sometimes.
Right.
Because not everybody shows up as the same thing. thing. But obviously there is the famous or most famous part of the parade, which is the March of the Stormtroopers, which is where they get all the Stormtroopers together and they all march together.
That's pretty sweet.
Which is, and it's helmed by Lord Vader.
Ooh, fancy.
Yes. Which was very, very cool. Being at the end, it was kind of funny because they had obviously been walking for several miles. And by the end, everybody was so tired. Like, there was this guy from medieval times who had a bullwhip. And he had been, you know, using it the whole way. And by the time he got down to us, he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. He's like, I can see the end. It's so close.
I'm almost there. I can see it. It's in my eyesight. I'm almost there.
Yeah, it's like the end. It's right there. But I also have to give mad props to some of the women in that parade, especially the Captain America girls, because they did the whole parade in heels.
That is pretty epic.
So mad, super mad props to them for that, because I don't think I could walk that far in heels. I really don't.
Right.
Especially the kind of shoes they were wearing. Just, I don't think I could get away with that. Their feet must have been killing them by the end, but I was extremely impressed by some of the costumes and some of the effort put forth in making sure that everything was represented, because it was a very, very cool experience.
Do you have a favorite costume from the parade?
I do, but it wasn't really a costume-ish, kind of. It was wrestling Deadpool.
Well, that's a costume.
Well, they had a murder of Deadpools. And so, you know, you had like Fenn from Adventure Time. You had wrestling Deadpool. You had all these different Deadpools dressed up as different things.
Right.
And then there was just stock standard Deadpool. But yeah, wrestling Deadpool was actually awesome because he had the tights, he had the boots, and he actually had a belt. And it was a Deadpool wrestling belt.
Right, and you can see a couple of those pictures right now at rackradioshow.com.
It was awesome. And I actually saw a close-up of the belt, and it was like, oh, this is, it had like a smiley face and I think something else on it. Like, it wasn't serious at all. It was amazing. It's like, props to you. Also, props to the 300 guys. It was my mission to find them all weekend. I never found them. I'm so sad.
Next year.
Goals for next year.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of fun at the parade. So, what did you do next? Where'd you head?
So after the parade, I weaved my way through the throng of humanity, found my friends at the Metro Cafe, and we went and had lunch at the Metro Cafe, where we all met up and we all talked about what we were going to do and basically set the game plan for the day, which was primarily the dealer room, because my friends were doing the aquarium that night, the party at the aquarium, I should say, that night, so they had to get in a costume for that, which I'll explain later. But so we had lunch, and lunch took a while because obviously there's a bunch of people downtown. There's long waits. So fun tip, first time going, or if you don't go a lot, or if you're just going for the parade, if you want to catch lunch, don't catch it right down there. Either go out of town or go further out. Don't stay right there where everything is, because if you do, there are going to be extremely long waits for food. Everything is packed. Everybody's trying to get back over the hotels, they're trying to get into the con, they're trying to get food, they're trying to do whatever. So there's a lot of lines, there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of waits. So if you're not that hungry and you don't mind waiting, it's fine. But if you're really hungry, just head out of that area. Don't stay down there.
There you go. There's your tip number one of many that we'll be throwing in throughout this podcast. All right. So the game plan, the dealer room. What you see, what you like. What was that experience like?
I hated and loved that place. Tip number two, don't go to the dealer room right after the parade. Just don't. It was wall-to-wall people. It was mass pandemonium. It was very hard to navigate. The thing with the dealer room is it's actually in a really, really huge space. It takes up two floors in the America's Mart.
Right.
But it's a really, with all the stuff they have crammed in there, it's very tight. So you become best friends with perfect strangers really quick. And there are some people who are a little bit less fresh than others.
Survival tip number two, bring deodorant.
Bring deodorant. Wear deodorant. Shower every day, please. We will all thank you for it.
Anyway, so you get to the dealer room, it's wall to wall, but what are you able to see? What are some of the things that actually stood out to you?
There were a lot of corset stands. A lot of steampunk stands, a lot of anime stuff. I saw a furry stand that I can't unsee. But one of the really, really cool ones was somebody had a custom lightsaber stand where they probably had 50 different kinds of lightsabers available for purchase, and you couldn't get near it.
That's impressive.
But it was just to see them all up there was really, really cool. We Love Fine was there. WeLoveFine.com, I should say, was there. And they had a lot of their merchandise up for sale, which was awesome. There was this really cool hat lady. There are actually several really cool hat people, but there was this one really cool hat lady that we saw, this Riddler bowler that we want to get for a friend. Because they had steampunk-style superhero hats.
That's pretty cool.
That were awesome and very expensive. Yeah. That's the one thing about the dealer room. It will make you so happy, but it will make your wallet cry because everything is cool, but it's expensive because it's either handmade or it's been imported in. And so people have to make up their costs. So be prepared to pay top dollar for a lot of this stuff.
Key, have a very expensive budget going in.
Yeah. Save money. Save lots of money. But it was a different experience to see all this stuff. Cause I hear other people talk about it. I've heard friends on this network talk about going to places like this. But it's like, you can't imagine it until you actually go into it.
Right. You gotta go there to really experience it.
I mean, just the amount of stuff. It's like some of it was really, really cool. And then others of it was like, really? Okay. All right. That's interesting. But I mean, it's like anything and everything geeky you could ever possibly want, go there. Just go there. But you do need a badge to get in. FYI. They just don't let everybody in because the lines for it are super, super long. So if you don't have a badge, you can't get into the dealer room.
Okay. So you get in the dealer room. Look around, you see all the cool and creative stuff. Then what's next on the agenda?
Basically, what's next is we went back to my friend's hotel, and I had to help them get ready for their party at the aquarium, and they were dressing up as Ursula and Flotsam and Jetsam. I never realized how much, well, I did realize, I should say, it amazed me how much effort goes into cosplay. Like, I had a respect for cosplayers before this weekend. That respect's gotten much deeper since. Just to see the amount of work that goes into making some of the simplest costumes. So, we got back up to the hotel room, which it takes a lot of effort to get a elevator, especially when you're on the 59th floor. Because it's like, oh, you know, maybe we could walk up the steps. No, they're on the 59th floor. No, we're not doing that.
No.
I'm going to have to stay here and sleep if that happens. So we went up, we finally caught an elevator, we finally made it up, and we had to help get them ready because they had been previously dressed up before, so they had to change out those costumes and then get ready in the new ones for the aquarium. So first we had to do her hair and get her in the wig, the Ursula wig.
Right.
Then we had to paint her, then we had to dress her, and then we had to do any finishing touches on her. And all in all, to get her completely ready, it probably took 2 hours to get her fully ready.
For one costume.
Because we had to do all the body paint, and we had to do the makeup, and do her hair, and make sure, and we actually had to undo the costume at one point, and change a part of it, and then redo it.
2 hours, one costume. How, based on everything you saw during the weekend, compare her costume to other costumes?
Her costume was pretty involved, but there were other costumes, like there were people walking around in full armor, full body paint. I mean, I saw a great Immortan Joe from Mad Max Fury Road. He had the full armor. He had the mask. He had the wig. He had everything. It was amazing. The people walking around in the Halo costumes. I saw full-on elves from Lord of the Rings that were spectacular.
Right.
I mean, a lot of Harley Quinns. Some with the smart footwear choice route, some with the stripper heel route. Props to the stripper heels. They're better women than I am. Stronger women than I am, I should say. But yeah, I mean, the costumes really range from very simple to very, very elaborate because there are people that do this professionally. I actually have one of the professional cosplayers there doing the panel, but there are people that do this professionally that put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money into the costumes. And it shows.
Right.
Because you look at some of them and you're like, wow, how did you do that?
Right, but yeah.
And some of them it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you say, oh, okay, I see how you're doing, and you go, wow. And my whole point on that was 2 hours, one costume, and just imagine some of the more elaborate costumes, imagine how long it took those people to get into costume. That's pretty insane. And give a mad props to everyone who does this.
I mean, my friends that went in costume, because I didn't go in this year in costume, I mean next year, they had, I think, potentially two costumes for each day. There are some people that have 3, 4, 5 costumes. Like, I don't understand how they're not constantly changing. Like, there are people who bring a tremendous amount of involved costumes with them. And it's just, it's nuts, because when I went down there on Thursday to pick up my badge from the offices, I saw people checking in for Dragon Con, and there were just cartloads of stuff. Like, I was going back up and there was a girl tooling through the MARTA station with a sewing machine. I was like, okay, all right.
We come prepared for Dragon
Con. They come prepared. Like, cosplayers do not mess around, man. They are ready for this.
Right. So they go off. You get prepared for day number 2. And this is the day you were able to sort of venture out and experience a lot of things on your own. So what was your day 2 like?
So I made the decision on day 2 to just kind of do my own thing, because hanging out with my friends is nice, but they wanted to do a lot of the panels and they were going to be doing a lot more running around than what I really wanted to do. So it was like, I kind of want to go off and people watch and do my own little thing. And so I got down there about 10 or so in the morning, and because I'm a glutton for punishment and I wanted to buy things that I wasn't able to buy the day before, I went back over to the dealer room, and truth be told, at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, it's really not that crowded. So if you're wanting to check it out, probably the 3 best times to go would be on Friday at the open of the con when everybody's still coming into town, Saturday during the parade when everybody's at the parade, and then Sunday morning when everybody's hungover.
Tip.
So went in there, picked up a couple things from the day before that I had liked, and then I just kind of wandered around after that.
Okay.
There were some things that I wanted to see. I wandered over to the Hyatt and saw the Artist Alley, which put me in such a happy place. It was bliss, because they had all these amazing comic book artists and just artists in general. And it wasn't just people that draw, it was people that do sculpture, it was people that do mixed media, paper art, puppetry, and you name it, they had them all there. And I kind of had a moment in the middle of the artist room, because one of my favorite artists, Megan Lara, was there. I didn't realize she was going to be there, and I just happened to walk by her booth, and I was like, holy crap, it's like Megan Lara. Holy crap.
Right.
Like, I had a moment. It was awesome. But they had some amazing, amazing comic book artists there, and one of the cool things that they have is a juried art show.
Okay, explain this.
Where all the artists, they actually have 2 separate artist areas. They have the comic book artists, which are on one side, and then when you go into the juried art show, there is a whole other group of fantasy artists that are there, and they're selling their wares and sculptures and everything. But they do a juried art show of the professional fantasy artists, where they get judged and they win prizes and everything, and they put their best pieces up for people to see. And there were some absolutely stunning pieces of art that I'm very, very glad I did not have a pen, because it's also a silent auction. I was prepared to drop money. I was very happy I didn't, because I did not have a pen.
Right.
But yeah, there were some absolutely amazing sculptures. There was this one artist, and I wish I got their name, but I didn't. I forgot to, because part of it is you can't take pictures in there. In the juried art show, you cannot take pictures.
Right.
Which sucks, because there was some absolutely really cool stuff, because there was this one person that did miniatures, and they built an entire, like, underground miniature fortress / castle / whatever that was 2 feet tall.
Wow.
And it was just so involved, and had all these different layers and peak holes and everything that you could look through. And it was so cool to see. And then there was another artist that did, like this Klimt inspired works that were just absolutely beautiful. And had I wanted to pay $85 for a print, I would have, but honestly, I'd already been to the dealer room, and it's like, you know, I spent enough money this weekend. Let's hold off on that.
Let's hold back a little bit.
Cause honestly, because the other part of it is that was 2.5 feet long, and I didn't have a way to keep it nice with wandering around the con. So it's like, you know, honestly, Let's not do that. That could be bad. But, I mean, just absolutely beautiful pieces of art, stunning sculptures. I mean, one of the things that fascinated me was there was this one artist that did, like, paper cutouts, and they were laser cut, and they were multi-layered, so they were almost three-dimensional. So cool. Like, my inner art geek was just going, yes!
Right, with your background in art, it's like, oh my god, pretty, pretty things.
Well, that was the one things I really wanted to go see was the Artist Alley, because that was right up where I wanted to be. Because for me, it's like I like TV shows, but I don't want to sit through a panel on a TV show.
Right, but...
So, artist stuff, so there.
Basically, what you're saying, it was basically right up your alley.
Ba-dum-ching.
Exactly.
Yes.
I had to make the pun. You had to go there.
But there were celebrities in the Artist Alley.
Like who?
I saw Fozzie and Kermit and Oscar the Grouch.
Right.
They actually had on display some of the original Muppets. And it's like, oh my gosh.
That's pretty damn cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It's like, which was also cool because Carol Spinney was there, and he was the puppeteer that did Big Bird.
Nice.
So it's like, I got to see Big Bird. Yeah. And Oscar, you know.
But mainly Big Bird.
Mainly Big Bird. And then after the Artist Alley, I wandered over to the Marriott, and people watched at the Marriott a little bit. I walked out in the middle of a Mad Max rally, where if you've ever been in the Marriott, there's the atrium level, which is the main level of the lobby, but the most utmost part of the lobby. And then there's like a lounge that's above that, that's a little raised area.
Uh-huh.
They had Immortan Joe up on the raised area, Max is up there, Furiosa's up there, the wives are up there, and they're doing the Mad Max rally, and below are the War Boys. All the guys dressed up as the War Boys, and they're cheering, and they're screaming, and they're like, yeah, and they're doing the thing, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. It's awesome, but it's insane.
Right.
There was a guy that was like dressed as Slender Man, and he started to follow me, and I just turned around and glared at him, because like, no.
No, not happening. No. No, just go away.
You don't. Like I said, saw a lot of really, really great costumes. Another one was somebody dressed up as themselves, but in Minecraft.
That's pretty cool.
Which was cool. One thing I did see was a lot of Harley Quinns, a lot of Jokers. I'm trying to think of what else I saw a lot of.
While you think of that, the one I know that stood out to you, because it's something we're big into, was Cards Against Humanity Guy.
Oh my god, Cards Against Humanity Guy. That was like the best cosplay of the entire con for me, because it was so creative. You know, it's everybody's dressed up as superheroes or TV references or whatever. Somebody actually cosplayed as Cards Against Humanity, which they had a black card, which if you're not familiar with the game, it's like apples to apples, but way darker.
It's the rated R version of apples to apples.
Basically, it's evil apples to apples.
Yes.
So, you have the black card, which is what everybody's supposed to play against. And so, on his hat was a black card, and it said, I am cosplaying as blank at Dragon Con. And then he had, like, this cape collar thing that just draped over him in nothing but white cards that had been taped together. I was like, oh my gosh, that's fabulous! And I chased him all over the Hyatt, trying to get a picture of him, and I couldn't get a picture of him. I was so sad. And then we found one on Instagram, and it made me happy. Because it's like, just describing it does not do it justice.
No, it didn't. I needed to see the visual, and oh my god. Props to you, Cards Against Humanity, man. You were awesome.
Dude, you win the con, man, for best costume. Fantastic.
Right.
And that's one thing I have to say about the costumes, is the range of creativity that you see. Because, you know, people do the stock standards and then people get creative with it. It's like a friend of a friend's who's staying with them when they were going to the aquarium, she dressed up as a nurse shark, where she wore a nurse's outfit and she had a fin on the back.
That's creative.
Yeah, I mean, it's the play on words, the puns. People get really creative, and it's so cool. But after the Artist Alley, went over to the Marriott, like I said, people watched, wandered around, kind of saw stuff, wandered into the Walk of Fame, which I got to see Barry Bostwick.
Nice.
He had his pants on. Just feel I should add that for some reason. Just, you know, Brad. And trying to think of what other celebrities. The Ghost Hunters people were there.
You were able to spot Stephen Amell at one point.
I was able to spot Stephen Amell. He's very pretty. Very, very pretty. Tip on that, for the bigger celebrities, you're going to want to get in line early because you have to pay to get everybody's signature, but two, you have to get in line early because they don't cap those lines, and they're only signing from a certain time to a certain time, and there's no guarantee that you will get in by that ending time. Like, no promise. And if you don't get through and you don't get to meet the person you want to meet, they will not give you your money back. So just FYI, get there early. And one of the ways that you can check it is you can go on their app, which they have for the phone, or you can get the paper schedules that they hand out, and you can look in there. And that tells you when everybody's signing, from what time to what time, where they're going to be, all that good stuff. It's awesome. And they have maps, they have everything. It's really organized. They're incredibly good at moving people and getting people in the right place. If you're lost, there's a volunteer in almost every corner to help you. They have information booths. They are very good at moving people, right, and getting people where they need to be.
I know you wanted to give a shout out to someone who helped you on day one when you were first trying to get your badge.
Yes! Yes, 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 yes. Pause for 1 second. Hey, the card. Yes, I want to give a huge shout out to Claire W. Kiernan. I hope I said your name right. She wrote this awesome book called Gone with Zombies, or I should say Gone with the Zombies. Let's get it right. Where it's a thriller novel, mystery novel, about a murder at a zombie convention.
Huh.
The king of zombie fiction is invited to a snooty literary symposium. A legion of his fans show up in costume. What could possibly go wrong? A murder most foul.
Ooh.
And all Jamie wanted to do was start her new job.
Sounds very intriguing.
Yes, you can. It is available for purchase via the internet as an ebook, or you can get it, as she says, in Dead Tree format. Go to G as in golf, W as in William, T as in Tom, Z as in zebra, .wordpress.com for more details. So yes, Gone with the Zombies. But she was very nice, and she helped me because I was terribly lost. Because when they say it's all the way in the basement of the Hyatt, they mean the media room is all the way in the basement of the Hyatt. I didn't realize the Hyatt went down that far. Shows you how much I go exploring that place.
Well, now you did. You learned something.
Now I know where to potentially for next year, so yay! But yes, she's very nice, because I had to run down there on Thursday and pick up my badge, and so I got to see everybody setting up and getting in the right spot. So, and I never did get to go back and thank her, so I wanted to give her that shout-out on the show and make sure everybody goes and picks up her book.
Yes, go pick up a copy of her book. Favorite part of the weekend?
I think it was just the people watching, honestly, because it's you're walking around and it's like the most random stuff just happens or pops up or you see something, or it's the people watching makes it the most interesting part of it, because you actually see people completely comfortable in their own environment, and it's really cool. We're like, this is who they want to be, and they're super into it and they're enjoying it and they're just having a lot of fun, and that creates a really cool energy.
So you also had this idea for first timers or just people in general going to DragonCon you wanted to let everyone know about.
Yes. So there were some helpful tips that I discovered based on my first trip to DragonCon ever that I wanted to kind of share with everybody, and I've sort of shared them throughout the show, but I kind of want to recap them all and put them all here. And I think the biggest and most important one that I can stress to everybody is take water. Whether you pick it up down there or you pick it up outside the city, depending on where you're staying, definitely pick up a bottle of water, take it with you, carry it around the con with you. There are plenty of water fountains, plenty of places for you to fill it up for free. I bought one bottle, and I had it with me all weekend, and I never had to pay to refill it because I found water fountains and whatnot. So definitely, definitely take a bottle of water around with you. You're going to do a lot of walking. You'll sweat a lot of it out. So you want to make sure you stay hydrated and you don't do any harm to yourself, because that could be bad. But yeah, so biggest, most important thing, take water. The other biggest, most important thing, if you're not cosplaying, wear comfortable shoes. And if you are cosplaying, try to wear comfortable shoes, unless it can't be avoided, and then bless you for that. But yeah.
Make sure you have comfortable soles in your shoes if you're not wearing comfortable walking attire.
Yes. Yes. My standard attire was a t-shirt, shorts, and sneakers. And I did 11 miles in 2 days for DragonCon.
Right. So yeah. Comfortable shoes, because you need to be prepared to do a lot of walking.
Yeah. And if you're not used to that much walking, cardio. Cardio. And make sure you include hills because Atlanta is not a flat city. So you want to make sure, because there's the Sheraton and the Hyatt Hilton. There's a Sheraton and the Hilton which are actually down a hill in like a valley, and then the Westin and the Hyatt and the Marriott are up on a hill. So you want to make sure that you can do hills and you're okay with a lot of walking and a lot of stairs, because you'll see all of that. So if you don't have the cardio for that, I would suggest you build it up, because otherwise you will be very tired very quick. And let's see, what else? Snacks. I took with me a couple granola bars, and they came in very, very handy because food downtown is super expensive. So when you're budgeting out for Dragon Con in terms of what you're going to spend for food, be prepared to spend anywhere from $10 to $20 per meal, because they do have fast food downtown, but it's once you factor everything in, it's going to be close to $10. And in the restaurants, there isn't anything cheaper than 10 usually. So on the low end 10, on the high end 20. So you want to factor that in for meals. To supplement meals, I took some granola bars with me. It worked out great. They were there when I needed them. They were a quick snack. I could keep walking, keep moving around, and be eating. Is perfect. Another option for food is in the hotels. They do have like snack bars, and they have like, there was a Papa John's stand in the Marriott that you could pick up like a quarter slice of pizza for $5, which was pretty good. But I don't know how often they're there, and I don't know for how long they're there. So it's a good idea to probably carry snacks with you, especially if you're waiting in line for stuff, because you have to get in line for panels really, really early. For some of the more popular panels, they were capping them at 2 hours beforehand. So you want to keep that in mind when you're running around and you want to go see stuff and do stuff, that you're going to be doing a lot of waiting. So if you're going to be doing a lot of waiting, it's probably good to carry food with you and water. I'm going to stress the water a lot because you need water.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. Labor Day weekend in Atlanta is hot. Stay hydrated.
Which brings you to your next one.
Which brings me to my next one. What is my next one? Oh yes, if you go to the dealer room, bring an extra bag. It will come in handy, to saying. And of course, can't forget the deodorant. Please, 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 please. We all thank you. You know, just take deodorant with you. You can pick up a little travel deodorant. Because for me, this is personal. You don't have to do this. But to be considerate of others, I actually took extra deodorant with me to sort of freshen up at a certain point in the day. Because after a while, it wears off. You know, you're sweating, you're running around. You know, eventually it all comes off and, well, you get a little stinky. So it's like, let me just freshen up to, you know, so everybody around me doesn't suffer.
Right. Be courteous.
You don't want to be gross and stinky and trapped in a group of people.
Yeah, be courteous to others.
Be courteous to others, which is the, you know, the rule of the con. Be courteous. Shower every day, or shower as often as possible. Keep yourself clean. You know, hygiene is important, and nothing sucks worse than being in a crowd of people and somebody hasn't showered in like 3 days. It's kind of gross. But, and one of the other things I have to stress for this survival kit, because it just was an automatic, this is awesome, it paid for itself deal, a portable charger. I can't believe I almost forgot it. You can pick up portable chargers for your phone from anywhere from $20 to about $80, depending on where you go. This is a must have if you're going to do this. There are no such things as plugs in the hotel lobbies. And if you can find one, chances are it's occupied. So your best bet, if you're going to be down there for a long time, is to take a portable charger for your phone with you. Because if you're taking a lot of pictures, or you're sending texts, or you're on the Dragon Con app, whatever you're doing with your phone, you're going to drain your battery really quickly. And you need a way to carry, you need a way to charge your phone so it doesn't die. Portable charger is your answer. I bought one for $30. I charged it up the night before I was going to go. It held the charge all day. I was able to charge up my phone at like 20%, and it had plenty of juice left over. So if you're going to do Dragon Con, get a portable charger. It will save your life, and it's awesome. And of course, like I said at the start of the show, MARTA is your best bet in terms of any kinds of transportation. If you're going to drive, I need to add this because I forgot to say it earlier. Please be careful where you park. Some friends parked in the Georgia Aquarium lot, and they got told that they could leave their car there and they would be able to get it out after hours. That was not the case. Their car actually got locked into the lot and they had to call security to come get it out. And they weren't sure security was going to come let their car out. So if you insist on driving or you have to drive, please be careful where you park. Please make sure, one, that you park in an area that's safe, and two, that you can get your car out after hours.
These are all smart tips.
Yeah. Nobody likes to get stuck. But if you can, take MARTA. MARTA runs all throughout Atlanta. So if you're not staying in any of the hotels downtown, stay along the MARTA line and it will take you down to the con. It will take you back. It's a $5 train ride round trip, which is not bad considering.
Right.
And you're probably spending gas and also to park your car.
Right. And make sure you get your passes beforehand.
Yeah, don't be like me, because I forgot to go on Friday and pick up my passes, and I went Saturday morning to get them. You can go to any of the MARTA train stations at any point, and you can buy passes. You can also buy them online if you already have a Breeze card. It's on the back of the card. I forget what the website is called, but you can buy the passes online if you have a Breeze card already established. But if you don't, you can go to any train station, you can pick them up, they have machines there. Just, I would recommend, don't try to buy them on Saturday morning, because it can get awkward, because there's a lot of people trying to take the train down that are coming in for just the parade.
You can go to www.breezecard.com.
There we go. There it is. See, he's got us.
I got the hookup right there.
So just a couple quick things about the con. We mentioned that, you know, there were 70,000 people there, 5,000 more than estimated. So, hey, good job. They also did some charity stuff, which was fantastic. They raised over $100,000 for the Lymphoma Research Foundation, and they also managed to raise an estimated $98,000 last year when DragonCon ended for the Atlanta Community Food Bank. This year, the final tally was over $115,000, and the number could go up.
Right.
So, good job, everybody. Well done. That's going to help some people.
Yeah, and they're still waiting on the blood bank total, so a lot of impressive numbers for DragonCon 2015. You had a great time, didn't you?
I had a blast. I had an absolute blast. I would love to go back again next year. I think I would do a couple things differently that I did from this year. I think I overdid things somewhat, so I don't know. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the weekend, I had a lot of fun. Definitely plan on taking that Friday before DragonCon off from work, because I'd like to go more than I did. It was a little awkward that I wanted to go down Friday and I couldn't because of work.
Right.
But definitely would go back. Can't wait to do it next year. It was a heck of a lot of fun. If you're looking to try it out, you can pick up day passes if you don't want to buy the full 4-day pass, which, let me backtrack. They do sell 4-day passes. They're opening them up, I think, this coming week. They're going to be $80 at the start. You can also book into the hotels if you're coming in from out of town. Just be aware that the con hotels fill up really, really fast. So if you want to get into one of them, you have to book way in advance.
Plan ahead.
It's kind of a theme of DragonCon. Plan ahead. Plan accordingly. But if you're not sure, if you just kind of want to go down for the day, they do sell day passes and they sell them at the door. So if you just kind of want to head down and go do your thing and then leave, you can buy the pass at the door and they'll sell it to you. So, and of course, the parade is free and the people watching is free.
Overall, great experience. You learn things and it'll make next year's experience that much better.
Absolutely. I can't wait for next year. But I think that does it for us.
It does. You can check us out all over social media. You can follow our network at Wild Talk Radio, the show at Rack Radio Show. You can check out our official website, rackradioshow.com. Lindsay is on Twitter
at Linsward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. And, well, if you want to check out my artwork, because I'm an artist and I'm not good enough to get an artist alley, but if you want to check it out, it's behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter.
Make sure you check out our official websites, rackradioshow.com, along with our networks, wildtalkradio.com, for all types of original podcasting programs, from wrestling to comics to video games, you name it, we got it. WildTalkRadio.com, along with RackRadioShow.com.
Yeah, so a huge thanks to the folks at DragonCon. Thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you for having us. It was an absolute blast. I'm looking forward to it again next year, and I hope everybody had as much fun as I did, because it was so much fun. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay. This has been The Rack, and, well, we will see you next time. Till then, bye!